coming in as Lube. Gilladyke centered it.
Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Here it is, put it in the wind tunnel.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby!
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get another hour of Flames Talk going on a Tuesday, January 28th. Welcome to the Scotiabank Saddledome, welcome to the Hot Stove Lounge, and welcome to this hour of Flames Talk. Sports Drive is underway, brought to you by Calgary Lock & Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to calgarylockandsafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, and of course, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. He's Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. My name is Pat Steinberg, and it's been a lot of like little news items for the Flames over the last little bit. Friday, it was Tyson Barrie being assigned on loan to the Wranglers, and then there was the ball injury on Saturday, and some different looking pairings on Sunday, and then Monday, Rory Karens gets sent down, and then here we are Tuesday. Up comes Barrie once again after a very short conditioning loan, and also Adam Klapka is recalled by the Flames as well. So both Klapka and Barrie are going to play Tuesday night versus Washington. Kevin Rooney and Daniil Miromanov are set to be the healthy scratches. And it was Monday's news that had some Flames fans in a tizzy when, I love that word.
That's a great word.
Tizzy. Rory Karens was sent back to the American League after playing four games, 4 points in those four games. And what we said on Monday was this, with Pelche getting the opportunity to move on to the Kadri-Huberto line, which a lot of people were excited about, it bumped Pospisil onto a line with Sharon Govich and Kuzmenko. And since those three guys have been put together, and since those three have been playing together for a couple of games Saturday and Sunday, they've looked really good. And for the first time all year, Andre Kuzmenko looks like maybe he can be a little bit of an offensive impact maker on a consistent basis. And with those three things, because you're not breaking up the backline line with Coronado and Coleman, There really wasn't a natural place in the top nine for Rory Karens anymore. And for my money, if there's not a top nine spot for a guy like Karens, it doesn't make much sense to keep him up, because I don't think it makes a lick of sense to play him on the fourth line the way things are right now. So that's kind of what we had said on Monday. And then Assistant General Manager Brad Pascal, who's also the GM of the Wranglers, joined the program and kind of confirmed that with us on Monday.
At the end of the day, our discussions are that we want our players playing. And the last two Flames games, he wasn't playing. He sat out those games. And, you know, at the end of the day, talking to Ryan and Craig, if he's not going to be in the lineup, we want him playing games. And that's really what it comes down to. You know, obviously he had four assists when he was up, turned a lot of heads. He's a great story from where he's gone, even from the start of training camp to now. You know, he's a skilled, smart player, and I think he'll have another call up, I hope, at some point. But at the end of the day, the decision was made just to have him play in games.
So our kind of feel on why they were going down that road ended up being correct. And this is one thing that I think is important, Vix, and I think you're on the same page, but I don't know, maybe you're not, and in which case we can fight.
Bare knuckle.
I've seen a few times on social media the whole idea of, well, why would they scratch Rooney for Klapka, but they won't scratch Rooney for Karens? This is a, you know, there's a vendetta and the coach doesn't like him and all that type of stuff. But Karens shouldn't be on an NHL fourth line. So Karens really struggled Thursday against Buffalo, right? I don't think anybody disagrees with that. He did not have himself a great game in that game against the Sabres, and he got sat down. So that was his first kind of real difficult stretch in the NHL. And so that was his last game for the time being. So he finishes with 5 NHL games and 4 points in those 5 games. And so because It wasn't just him, by the way, who was sat down. It was also who else got sat down? Kuzmenko and Rooney, I remember correctly, were the two other guys that got benched in that game against the Sabres, which the Flames did end up winning. But then they go after that onto that two-game road trip, and they thought, okay, a rough game for Cairns. Let's sit him out and let him see it from the press box. And then that line of Pospisil, Sharon Govich, and Kuzmenko really got good. And now you're like, well, we don't want to break that up, and you don't want to have Cairns continuing to sit. You don't want to shoehorn Cairns into a fourth-line role because, for me, the first line where he'll be with the Wranglers starting this weekend is a far more productive place for him to be than for him to be A, healthy scratched, or B, shoehorned into a fourth line role. You know, we can talk all we want and people can yell all they want, but why not make it a skilled fourth line on this Flames team? That's just not where the personnel has it right now. And so that fourth line is constructed a little bit differently for the time being. And so as it's constructed like that, it doesn't make sense for Cairns to be there. To me, it makes way more sense for Rory to be in the American League as their number one center than playing 6 or 7 or 8 minutes as a winger on the fourth line right now, kind of not really in a spot that fits his skill set or fits his strengths. And it sucks because he was quite productive, and then there were a lot of good things. And ideally, it wouldn't have been one rough game and you're out. But it just so happened the one game they did decide to healthy scratch him in to give him another look and to maybe rest him and give him just that quick little reset, another line came together and got really good. So to me, this is more circumstantial that led to the decision as opposed to anything else.
First things first, you made me giggle a little bit about why don't they try to make the fourth line a skill line. They've been working for the last 2 months to find a third line that could be a skill line for them, and that's the whole predicament that we're in, where Cairns gets bumped to the fourth line, plays 657 against the Buffalo Sabres 5 days ago, and then is back-to-back healthy scratch and then back into the minors. Fact of the matter is you're not putting Cairns in a place to succeed if you have him playing the fourth line or if you have him sitting games. He's still young. He's a player that's much more playing 18, 19, 20 minutes a night for the Wranglers than being in and out of the lineup for the Flames. And his skill set isn't suited to play on a muck and grind fourth line in the NHL. So why not? Why would you go out of your way to put a prospect that's flourishing this season in a position where he's not likely to succeed? That doesn't benefit the Flames on a game-to-game basis. It doesn't benefit Rory Cairns in a development-type element. So getting him back to the Wranglers, getting him playing minutes as opposed to only seeing single digits with the Flames or watching from up top isn't the best way to go about it. Now, I can understand why they would pull out Kevin Rooney for Klapka, for example, who's a little bit more mature in his development, a little bit further down the line. I believe, as you believe as well, that he's much better suited for a bottom six role in the NHL than Cairns would be at this point, and you're probably less concerned about stunting growth or worrying about development with a player like Klapka, who is, again, further along in his process and likely skews to being a bottom six forward at the NHL level. This isn't a Cairns versus Klapka debate for me, and it shouldn't be a Cairns versus Rooney debate either, because you're talking about two different players where you would utilize them in very different scenarios and situations. And to your point, you finally get a third line that looks like they might be clicking, whether that's a short-term fix or something that can be built out over the longer term. We'll see what happens. But the fact of the matter is this isn't, to me, a Cairns versus Rooney debate, because Cairns isn't a guy that you want to be on your fourth line. And if you want to bring it back to, well, go for a skilled fourth line, Flames don't have that personnel right now.
This was head coach Ryan Huska when he was asked about what kind of the message was to Cairns as he gets reassigned on Monday.
I think he needs to keep doing what he's been doing. I mean, he's had a wonderful year with the Wranglers, and when he came up here, he played really well for us as well. I think for him continuing to move forward, the challenge is always going to be the pace of the NHL. So finding a way to do the things that he's very good at, which is being strong on the puck and making good plays with it that aren't considered risky plays. So up until his next call up, whenever that may be, work on the pace of the game. I think that's the one challenge that we would leave him with.
So we'll see how he goes back down to the American League. We'll see how he goes back down with, and one of the things that you talked about on Monday's show, Vix, was, hey, here's an opportunity for him to take all of what he's learned in the AHL, rather in the NHL in these five games, and all of what he has learned in a good way in terms of what he's capable of doing up here, and maybe the things that he learned, he's like, oh, geez, I really got to work on X or Y or whatever. You just heard the coach talk about battle. You heard him talk about pace. And so take all those things and work on them that much more in the American League. Go back down there, continue to light it up, and see what you do. And so that's kind of what this all comes down to me, and Klapka is far more suited for a fourth-line role in the NHL compared to a guy like Rory Karens as it stands right now.
Well, and if Karens is frustrated or, you know, he would have got a longer look, I absolutely understand that. But to your point, yeah, those five games that he played, which spanned from 657 against Buffalo to a brief NHL career-high 1545 against the St. Louis Blues, take each and every one of those outings, take the collective and identify things in your game that was good enough, because you do need that positive reinforcement, but identify things that weren't good enough or that weren't necessarily NHL level yet, and make those things your focus, because there's no greater tool that a player can have in his disposal in terms of his development and things he needs to work on than the actual hands-on experience itself. So those five games, again, varying degrees of success, whether it was two assists in his NHL debut or being benched against the Buffalo Sabres, use all of that to identify where the gaps are in your game currently, and you have the perfect environment to work on those things as a top-line player for the minor league affiliate that shares a building with the team that you want to call home as quickly as possible. And we heard it a couple times. I don't think this is the last we've seen of Rory Karens this season in a Calgary Flames jersey, but it'll be on him to make sure that if and when that recall does happen, that he's taking a look at the deficiencies in his game now and tries to do whatever he can to implement fixes on him for the next time up.
This reads, it was Bishop benched against Buffalo. Rooney was scratched. Yes, thank you. That's right. Clark Bishop came in. Rooney was a healthy scratch that game. And then Bishop did get benched. Thank you for that clarification. This reads from Dave. So who's going to be the odd man out when Zeri returns, assuming no more injuries? I mean, I don't know. There's because you don't know who's playing. I hate these questions. I don't hate that you asked the question, Dave. I just hate trying to answer them. Like, I get them on the post-game show all the time. Like, okay, well, like, what's going to happen then when, you know, X and X is so-and-so is healthy in 2 months? Well, I don't know who's hurt. I don't know who's playing well in 2 months. You know, if it was right now and the circumstances were exactly the same and Zeri comes back in, well, I probably, if it's right now circumstances, probably Bishop goes back down or Rooney goes on waivers, one of the two, and then I move Zeri back into his spot and probably Pospisil gets bumped to the fourth line. That would be how I would do it right this instant, right now, but I don't know what the circumstances will be in a month or 2 months' time, right?
No, you don't know who's healthy, who's out, what happens post-trade deadline, assuming that it's Zeri not available until then. And again, I don't have a clear timeline necessarily on when Zeri's going to return in this hypothetical. But yeah, I would think it would be either Rooney, Bishop, maybe Klapka sliding back down, and then you're sort of cycling through your lines and going, okay, do you want to put Zeri back down the middle coming off this injury? Do you want him on the wing to ramp him back up to NHL speed for the time being? And you've liked what you've seen out of the third line, but is that third line still clicking? You're probably, again, to your point, not touching Backlund, Coleman, Coronado. Where's Pelletier and what's he able to contribute on that top line over the course of his duration there? Like, so many factors to keep in mind, but I guess at the end of the day, the issue is you're not going to hesitate whatsoever to put Zeri in a position to succeed
for
when
sure.
He's back.
This reads from Daryl. Here's a thought. Instead of juggling Bishops and Klapkas, Conroy, go out and find a player that you've been looking for a year and a half. Get off your ass, man. It pisses me off that he's just sitting there doing nothing. Yeah, you know what? I can tell you, Craig Conroy, the general manager of the Flames, like, I don't even think he's at the building today. I think he's just out. It's a game day, but I think he's at a farmer's market right now. Phone's off, and he's not.
He's not in Mexico?
You know what? He may have done an early trip to Mexico because he's got 2 weeks. I do a month in Mexico. Yeah. Let the assistants. No, he's been working on this stuff and been burning the phones all year. There are no real deals out there. I think that Daryl's talking about that young right-handed center. Like, Buffalo is holding Dylan. They've looked in on Dylan Cousins. Multiple sources have said that they've looked in on Dylan Cousins. I'm quite confident they've looked in and looked in on Dylan Cousins or Shane Pinto or names like that. Guys that would fit what they're looking for. And you know what? These teams, the Ottawa Senators, they're fighting for a playoff spot and could very well finally return to the postseason. They're not eager to give up their 23-year-old right-handed center who's got a ton of upside. And you know the Buffalo Sabres? They've been burnt on so many deals from Sam Reinhart to Jack Eichel and more. You know what? Maybe their 23-year-old right shot center, who's a former 30-goal scorer, maybe they'll try to fix things in Buffalo and have him as part of the solution as opposed to trading him away for quarters on the dollar. So no, this is not Craig Conroy sitting on his ass doing nothing. That is such, and Daryl, I'm not trying to take a shot at you, but that is such an asinine thought to think that he, just because he hasn't made a trade, means that he hasn't been working. Like, to acquire, why haven't 30 other teams gone out and acquired a young right-handed shot center? There are plenty of teams that need that right now. I just that makes me rip the limited hair on my head out when I think about that. That really, like, this is the argument that he's doing nothing and not trying to help his team.
I was going to ask you this question, and I'm not asking it sarcastically. In the last year and a half, is there an under 24 right shot center that has moved in a trade that Conroy's missed out on? And if so, what was the return? Like, I don't recall. Those things don't hit the market all that often.
I mean, people are like, why didn't he get Kaapo Kakko? Well, because they've got enough, you know.
Well, and that's a winger,
left shot winger. They don't need another left shot winger to now have even more of a glut. Like, no, I don't think that he was really. Did he? Of course he did his due diligence on Kakko. I know that he did. But in the end, it's like, well, Kakko doesn't really fit what we're trying to do right here. They missed out on Derek Ryan on waivers, really? Like, did they miss out on a 38-year-old guy who's not seeing the lineup in Edmonton right now? I don't think they did. So, like, it's not like they were runner-up to Jack Eichel and didn't do enough to get Eichel like some people thought maybe they did going back to that trade being made in 2021. And even then, I don't think that Eichel was really ever coming here. So, to your point, what trade for what they really need has Craig Conroy missed out on this year?
I wasn't asking that sarcastically or hypothetically or anything like I don't know what player has exchanged teams that it's like, oh man, how is Conroy not in and around this? And then if there is one, please let the text line know. And what was the return, and what would you have been comfortable dealing for that player? Because that's the other element too. That's the thing, is nobody's giving away 23-year-old right shot centers for free. They don't grow on trees. You can't pick one out of your backyard. They require significant assets to acquire, and that's why you don't typically see too many, you know, 25 and under centers, regardless of which hand they are, flop teams. And if they do, it's part of a package to land a superstar.
A couple people who text in every once in a while. Or not calling, like, and I don't want to. Well, no, I'll name names because they're regulars. I've gotten into these conversations with both George and Travis before. Like with George, it was on the, it was after the trade for Zadorov, and I remember George that night on Flames Talk post game in November 2023, calling in and being like, "Why didn't they get more for him?" Like, well, because there wasn't more for him. Like, what? Do you think that Craig Conroy had a first-round pick on the table and left it there for the third and the sixth? Like, I don't think – did I just snort? I think I did.
A little bit.
But that's how funny it is to me. Like, do you really think the market was they got their third-round pick that they paid for him back and they got an additional pick? There wasn't a whole lot more, especially once Zadorov backed him into a corner with the public trade request. And then Travis was like, well, there was a few, I don't even remember what it was, but it's like, well, why don't they, I can't believe Conroy hasn't gone out and gotten this guy. I'm like, how do you know that guy is even available? Like, what are you talking about? Like, well, he could trade this guy and this guy for that guy. And I'm like, Trav, that's not like, we're not playing a video game. Like, you don't just get to like come up with a trade that you do and then criticize the GM for not doing it.
You know what?
Sometimes makes it hard for me to have arguments.
I will criticize Conroy for not landing Marty Natchez. Like, what did that even cost Colorado?
Yeah, just ranting in.
He's 26 though, so a little over the hill.
And again, like, what piece? So Daryl follows up and says, well, what about Natchez?
Oh, no, really?
He did.
Perfect.
Who's Mikko Rantanen on the Flames? Like, what guy?
The top six NHL scorer?
Like, one of the most impactful wingers in the NHL. What guy is Mikko Rantanen on the Flames that could get them Natchez? No, Craig Conroy is not just sitting on his ass trying and not doing anything. I can tell you with absolute certainty he's trying to make his team better and actively trying to make his team better. It's Steinberg and Vickers along with you. This hour of Flames Talk coming at you from the Scotiabank Saddledome and the Hot Stove Lounge, and everything being produced back downtown at our Groundworks downtown studio. Groundworks, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's Hockey Station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Usually on a Wednesday, but this week things all juggled up this week for us on a Tuesday. Want to make sure we still chat with our Pacific Division insider. Let's spin around this Pacific Division that has become a whole lot more tight of late. It's time to say hello to Jonathan Davis from NHL Network and VSiN Sports. He joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline right now. Hello, JD. It's good to chat with you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, Pat. How are you in front of what should be, I mean, one of the better games of the night tonight in your neck of the woods.
Yeah. Opportunity to see the number one team in the NHL, the Washington Capitals, in the house on this Tuesday night. Looking forward to it. And, you know, the Flames sitting in a playoff spot. They're fighting tooth and nail for a wild card position. But the Pacific Division playoff spot's in play as well. We'll get to all of that as we spin around the division. And maybe let's start in Las Vegas with the Golden Knights, who are back on top of the division, JD, after a big win over the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really weird how January has just been a brutal month for this team over the years. I mean, I think they're around 500 this right now for the month, but they've been, They've been at under 500 for three of the past 4 years. And it's weird, because, and every year since the Knights have become in existence, they have been leading the division on January 1st. And then starting January 2nd, the roof caves in on them. They're like, we're gonna take our foot off the gas.
Yeah, which has kind of been their MO, as you said. But back on top of the division, big game coming up against Dallas, and they've got a couple of players playing some really good hockey, kind of led by Tomas Hertl right now.
Yeah, I mean, this is the guy that they had, you know, that they thought they were trading for. And Hurdle's, you know, he's got the 9-game point streak. It's what, 7 goals and I think 17 points during the streak. And, you know, and especially with the absence of William Karlsson, you know, this is, you know, a key member for this team right now. And this is how they can, you know, this is how deep this team is, that they can, you know, they can lose a guy like Karlsson down the middle, but there they have Hurdle just to step in.
Do we know, like, both Karlsson and now there's also the Alex Pietrangelo situation? Maybe start with Karlsson in terms of, like, are we certain that he's not going to the Four Nations with Sweden, and then obviously the Pietrangelo situation after that?
Yeah, well, I think with Karlsson, I would say he's not. I mean, he hasn't played for quite some time. Don't expect him back. You know, I don't expect him back anytime soon. And
okay.
Pietrangelo played, you know, in the game, in their last game, he'll continue to play. You know, he just needs that rest, you know, for the Four Nations. There's no reason for him to have to, you know, to put himself through risking an injury when he's just, you know, it seems like he's having to, you know, if he could, he would sit out, but he knows that he's got that break coming up in a couple of weeks. So use that time to get healthy, you know, during the break, during the Four Nations. And, you know, I think that, you know, Petro not being, you know, now not making himself available, we'll see here in Los Angeles how that impacts Drew Doughty, who, you know, yeah. I was joking with somebody. I think I saw a picture of Drew in his Team Canada pajamas not too long ago. I know he's itching to play for Team Canada.
Speaking of the Kings, How about those scoring woes for the LA Kings? It's been a extended stretch of time where they've really, really had a rough run in that regard.
Pat, if you've got any scoring touch, they'll sign you because it's really bad. I mean, it's two goals or less in 9 of their last 10 games. I think they've got like maybe 20 or 18 goals, I think, or 19 goals in their last 10 games, and 5 of those came against Vancouver. It is a struggle. I mean, the only guy that you can count on to score a goal is Adrian Kempe, and after that, you're hoping and praying. So the way that this team has played, and although they've abandoned the 1-3-1, I'll tell you, it sure looks like they're playing that in the defensive zone on most nights, because they know right now they're struggling to score, so they're doing everything they can to limit the opposition from trying to score as well. It's not a lot of fun right now, and they're under 500 this month after the loss last night, and it's not going to get any easier for them on this road trip that they're on, because now they go to Carolina and then they've got the two Florida teams. And yes, they beat both Florida teams in LA, but the road's been something different. And I think, I'm not counting on LA, it's just too hard for them to win. It's just too hard for them to score, that it really taxes your goalies for, big time.
You mentioned Adrian Kempe and kind of like the one guy who's exempt from the scoring woes. He sure has turned into a pretty impressive player, hasn't he?
He has, and I think that, it took, from talking to some people around the team, I think it took some time for him to believe that he was really, that he had this elite capability. I think they always knew that he could score, but he's become, as we like to say, the 200-foot player. He's been on that top penalty kill unit for quite some time, scores goals. So no matter, 5-on-5, shorthanded, power play, he's the guy. And it's been impressive to watch his evolution as a player, because for a number of years, I had people just telling me that he was happy to collect a paycheck, be in Los Angeles, enjoy the nice weather. But that's not Adrian Kempe anymore. He's legit.
We're talking to Jonathan Davis, our Pacific Division insider from NHL Network and VSiN Sports. Let's move to Vancouver, where it seems like everybody has on a daily focus around the NHL. Somebody's got an eye on the Vancouver Canucks, and boy, it sure does feel like the hockey world, JD, and even that locker room, it sure does feel like they're just kind of waiting for a trade to come, a shoe to drop, something to happen.
Yeah, I mean, we're expecting it. And then, I was listening to the boys on 650 this morning, and they started talking about an article that came out in the Globe and Mail today. And I don't have a paywall, so I haven't seen it. But I heard that Jim Rutherford, from what they were discussing, was pretty open about the problems inside that room, and in specific, with relation to Miller and Pettersson. And so you would think that somewhere sooner than later, I can't see them going on during, through the Four Nations without making a deal. It would just seem like, why would you want to let this thing fester any longer? And then, notwithstanding that, you still have the Brock Besser situation. I mean, you've got guys, an unrestricted free agent. It wouldn't shock me to see them move Besser as well.
Yeah, and sure does feel like he, the ask in terms of what he'd be after in free agency may be too rich for Vancouver's blood, so could very well see Besser on the move between now and the trade deadline. And yet, through all of this, with all the dysfunction, with the JT Miller stuff, the Elias Pettersson stuff, and now this with Brock Besser and his uncertain future, They're still hanging around. They're still hanging right in this playoff race. A 5-2 win over St. Louis on Monday night, and they're not really like they haven't gone anywhere as it stands right now.
No, and that's a testament to Quinn Hughes has done everything he can to try to carry this team on his back. And Connor Garland continues to shine. I mean, but the numbers that Hughes is putting up this year, I think he's got like a 21 or 22 point lead in the scoring race on his team.
Yep.
And I I think that only Kucherov and Travis Konecny have a greater margin. But you're talking about a defenseman here. I mean, great for Hughes, not great for the Canucks that your defenseman's got, you know, that big a lead in the scoring race on his own team. But, you know, and for me, that if Vancouver finds a way, if he can propel this team into the playoffs, you got to look at this guy for the Hart Trophy.
Yeah, I know there's even been talk about, like, could you look at him for the Hart Trophy, even if they don't make the playoffs for that reason, knowing how important Quinn Hughes has been in that market. Let's move to Anaheim, and one of the things that we've talked about is you've kind of made the point a few times that, hey, John Gibson, is this maybe the year that it's time for the Ducks to move on from Gibson? Is this the year we finally see the long-rumored Gibson trade happen? Well, that's going to have to wait a little while longer now because he all of a sudden's on the shelf.
Yeah, an upper body injury for Gibson, and it's kind of like rinse and repeat. Yeah, a guy that's had problems staying healthy throughout his career, and here's another situation. He goes down over on Saturday night in the Nashville game after the first period. So, yeah, I mean, that puts that situation on hold for now. And you know, but for Anaheim, you know, I think there's still been some good stories. You know, the Trevor Zegras coming back from injury looks like the guy in these last few games that they, you know, that was a first-round draft pick. And I think his passing skills have been just as good, if not better, than his goal-scoring prowess. So I really like what I've seen from Zegras. And, you know, Mason McTavish is on a great run right now. 5 goals in the last 3 games, back-to-back 2-goal games. You know, there's more reason for excitement for the future in Anaheim. You like the direction that they're going. You know, you've got 2 anchors for them on the back end, 2 veterans with Truba and Gudas. So that, you know, adds stability, adds toughness to this roster. And Dostal's played really well. So, you know, every time he's in net, there's a chance to win. And, you know, so I do like where they're going.
A few more stops with JD, Jonathan Davis from NHL Network and VSiN Sports. In Seattle, they're on a tough little back-to-back and not necessarily a team that's been excelling on the second halves of back-to-backs.
Not excelling, it would be an understatement. They're 0-7 on the second half of back-to-backs. They've been blanked 3 times. They've never scored more than 2 goals in the second half of a back-to-back. And tonight, they've got Philip Grubauer in goal, who's lost his last 5 decisions. He's given up at least 3 goals in all 5 of those. It's not a really good spot if you're a Kraken fan.
Yeah, what has happened to Philip Grubauer?
Yeah, you know, just a shadow of the guy that we saw in Colorado. I don't know. Maybe he and Alexander Georgiev hung out way too much together in some fashion because both these guys, you know, I don't know. I thought Grubauer had some things turned around last year, but it's been just a big time struggle for him this year in Seattle.
And I mean, finally,
going to court. Joey DeCord went 7 straight games, I think it was, or 8 straight starts. I mean, they weren't going to put – the only reason Grubauer is going to play tonight is because it's a back-to-back, and you've got to give DeCord a rest at some point.
Yeah. Well, let's wrap up in San Jose, and it has not been a banner year for the Sharks in a lot of ways, but there's still some excitement in that market because of 2 players, Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith, and both guys on pretty nice roles right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Celebrini's got, what, goals in back-to-back, and Smith's got points, I think, in 5 consecutive games. You know, he's got 6 points. You know, still, you know, deeper down on the rookie scoring race, Celebrini trailing Lane Hudson. But, you know, again, it's been a rough stretch for San Jose. They get that win against Pittsburgh to snap a losing streak. I mean, they were super leaky. They'd given up like 34 goals in 5 games. They had those 2 wild games with the Nashville Predators that they came out on the short end twice. And I'll tell you, Pat, if they want that, you know, better shot at that first overall draft pick, just keep playing Georgiev in net because that's really he has been just an absolute disaster in San Jose. Hey, before we go, you know, just because I always like to throw in a couple of, you know, betting tips. Here's for your Calgary audience for the game tonight. Nazem Kadri's got 3 goals in 4 games against Logan Thompson. Kuzmenko's got 4 goals in 5 games against Thompson. And Sharon Govich has got 2 goals in 3 games against Thompson. You get some really nice prices, especially on Kuzmenko, if you like to wager on an anytime goal for any one of those guys.
So it's Kadri, Kuzmenko, and Sharon Govich are all good anytime goal guys for you?
Those are great value. Kuzmenko, you can get as high as 6-1. Sharon Govich is about 4-1.
Yeah, I might have to go. I might have to go venture into the to some of the player props and take a look at just that. I always like just a little good little betting nugget from JD. I appreciate that, buddy. That's awesome.
I try to keep, you know, Flames related when I can.
Exactly. All right, buddy. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for being flexible this week. Hey.
Hey, anytime, bud. Talk to you later.
Absolutely. That is Jonathan Davis. He is our Pacific Division insider. Joins us from NHL Network and VSiN Sports, and he joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Barcast Hotline using the same secret recipe since 1975 at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Enjoying the game at home. Call for pickup or delivery at 403-248-3344. As we start to wrap things up this hour, he's Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg, and this hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockandSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution.